Good morning. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is a long and glorious chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as our resurrection in Christ. We're not going to look at the whole thing today, but I'm going to read a portion of it and sort of use that as it's a bit of a launching pad, so to speak, on the topic of resurrection in particular. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. So you hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We were even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have this morning to come before you as your people, worshiping your risen Son, our Savior and King. Lord, we pray that you would work in us this morning by your Holy Spirit to aliven us, to grant us a vision, a picture, a discernment of Jesus Christ risen from the dead and all of the blessed benefits that flow from him to us for those who are found in him. We pray you would bless this reading of your word this morning, but also bless the preaching of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fundamental tenet of the Christian faith. It is an essential component to what we believe. As we heard from the Apostle Paul, if it were not true, then our faith would be in vain. It would be empty, because the tomb would then not have been empty. And so we would be without hope in this world. We would have no hope in this life or in the life to come. In fact, the only reason we do have hope is because Jesus was raised from the dead. And the Holy Spirit has raised our hearts from the dead, and he has convinced us of this truth. And the only way you, as a human being living in this world, can have hope in this life and in the life to come is to know and to love and to believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are so many benefits that flow and come from our Savior because of who he is and what he has done, benefits we experience in this life through Christ, by his Spirit. He has raised us from the dead spiritually. He's given us new hearts. He's given us faith to believe and trust and rest in him. He's given us a right standing with God the Father. We are justified by faith and therefore have peace with God. We have been adopted into the family of God, and we experience a reconciled relationship not just with our Heavenly Father, but a reconciled relationship with all of those who call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord continues by His Spirit to work in us, to conform us more and more to the image of our risen Savior by one degree of glory to another. So many benefits we experience in this life. And not just in this life, but even benefits we receive from Christ at death. When you breathe your last, you do not need to wonder what's going to happen to you. You don't need to fear what will occur to your soul as you swing out into eternity. But when you die, you shall see the Lord. When you die, you will be made perfect in holiness, and you will be immediately in the presence of God, worshiping Him and awaiting the restoration of all things. But not only do we have benefits from Christ in this life, not only do we have benefits from Christ at death, but we also have benefits from Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, at our resurrection. So many great benefits. Even at the day of resurrection, we will experience gifts from our Lord and Savior. There was a group of pastors who considered the benefits that we would receive from Christ at the day of resurrection. These pastors lived in the 1600s, and they put the question this way. They said, what benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? This is the resurrection at the last day when Jesus comes again. And of course, this is all predicated on the fact that Christ Himself has been raised from the dead. And the answer they give to that question is that at the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Now this morning, I want to consider those benefits that we receive from Christ at the resurrection because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's my hope for you today, and the main point I want you to have this morning is for you to hope in the grace of the risen Savior. Hope in the grace of the risen Christ. Hope for the grace of the resurrection. Now, one of the first things we need to understand or remember is that you will be raised up in glory. Those of you who have placed your faith in Jesus Christ will be raised up in glory. The resurrection of the dead is the great Christian hope, the glorious hope that our physical bodies, which are laid in the grave and rot away, will one day be made new to rise again to stand upon the earth. Such a hope was held even by the Old Testament saints. Job declares in chapter 19 of the book bearing his name, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." King David as well speaks of Jesus Christ and writes in Psalm 16, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." The Old Testament saints believed in the resurrection. And Jesus makes this clear. He makes it explicit, not only with his words in John 5 when he says, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life." He's made known the resurrection from the dead by his words, but also by the fact that he himself rose from the dead. And it's because Jesus was resurrected that we who have believed in him hope to be resurrected as well. Paul says that Jesus is the first fruits from the dead, meaning this is the first fruits, the promise of greater things to come. The first fruits was the beginning part of the harvest to show that the harvest has essentially already begun. This harvest has already begun, but there will be much more to come. Jesus has begun the resurrection from the dead. In many ways, we could say we're not waiting for the resurrection of the dead. It has already begun. And it has begun in Jesus Christ. And those who have placed their faith in him must be raised, because the resurrection has already begun. And it's begun in Jesus Christ. We have confidence that that which is laid in the grave will be taken up again and taken up in a glorious way. That our bodies, which die, will be given new life. Paul gives us a picture of what this is like in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37, a little bit further on our passage. He compares the body, that which is laid in the grave, with a grain of wheat or some other seed. The grain of wheat falls into the ground, it dies, it rots in the ground, and yet it produces new life. Out of that plant comes one, out of that seed comes a plant of the same identity as the grain. G.I. Williamson explains that by this, we are to understand that when the body rots in the grave, everything that shows the evidence of sin in this present physical body will die forever. And yet out of the body which is buried will come the body which rises again. This is why Paul says in verse 42 through 44 of chapter 15 that the body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, or perhaps a better translation, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a supernatural body. And that's what we have in Christ. Now, in all of this, there are two major points we need to see, two points that we embrace by faith that we have hope in. And they are these. First, your resurrection body will be the same body as to substance and identity. You will not be reincarnated as something other than human or someone other than yourself. The grain of wheat produces wheat. Your human flesh will produce human flesh. You will have the same body. But secondly, your resurrection body, though your body will be different as to its qualities and power, it will be greatly improved, as the full-grown wheat plant is far more glorious than the grain that produced it. Your resurrection body will be far more glorious than the weak and corruptible flesh buried in the ground. And I know this is a great hope for many. Now, you are keenly aware of the corruption that sin has brought to your physical body, aren't you? You're keenly aware of the weakness of your physical frame, are you not? And this awareness grows as you get older. Sin has ravaged our physical bodies. We experience pain. We get sick. We have seasonal allergies that prevent us from enjoying the beauty of nature and the coming of spring. We're allergic to foods which we may enjoy. Our knees deteriorate and need to be replaced. Our hearts don't work properly. Our arteries become blocked. We develop infections. We experience chemical imbalances in our brains. Our backs get injured. Our thyroids go out of whack. Our bones get broken. Our ankles become sprained. Our eyesight begins to fade. Our blood pressure is too high. We have sleep problems. We develop cancer and our bodies destroy themselves. Our bodies are weak and full of corruption. And I'm sure you could add to that list. Do you not long for the day when you will be free from such weakness and such corruption? Brothers and sisters, this is the hope you have in Jesus, that while your body is sown in corruption, it will be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. at the resurrection, you will be raised up in glory, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We can hope to be raised up in glory because Jesus Christ has already been raised up in glory. And if Christ has been raised, so too will you who have placed your faith in him. Hope in the grace of Christ in glory. For not only will your body be made whole and new, but because of the grace of the risen Savior, you shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. So immediately following the resurrection day comes the day of judgment. John tells us in Revelation 20, verse 11 and following, that he saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, on that great and dreadful day of the Lord, both the righteous and the unrighteous will stand before the judgment seat of God. You will stand before the judgment seat of God. And you can imagine the horror of those who have rebelled against the Lord in this life, as they are brought before the throne. Those who have cursed and blasphemed his name, as they're brought before the throne, they will stand there in terror with no hope, no defense, with no support or representative, utterly destitute of any appeal or any comfort. You too will stand there, but you will not cower in fear before the throne. But instead, you will be openly acknowledged by the risen Son of God. He will publicly declare that you belong to him, that you are his own. He will confess to the Father that you are his, because you confessed him before men, as Jesus says in Matthew 10. What hope we have in Christ, even before the throne. When heaven and earth flee away and all lies open and bare before the judgment seat of God, the risen Jesus looks at you and says, "You are mine. You are mine. No need to cower in terror, but stand with hope and confidence before the throne of God, because you stand in me. You stand with me, and I stand at your right hand, and you shall not be moved." And Jesus shall not only openly acknowledge you, but you will be openly acquitted in the day of judgment. You will be openly declared to be righteous in the sight of all. Now, this is not some second justification that's based on the good life that you have lived after you have been saved, but this is a public declaration of your justified status, which you have had ever since you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you placed your faith in the risen Savior, you were justified. The guilt of your sins was removed from you when you received a righteous standing before God. But such a justification was a secret one. The world cannot see it. But on that great day of judgment, all of heaven and earth will see. Every man and angel will know that you are guiltless before the throne of God and are in fact righteous, all because of Jesus Christ, whom you have received by faith alone. All will see this and know it to be true when the risen Jesus stands and beckons you with his nail-pierced hands. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a glorious day that shall be for you. All because of the grace of Jesus Christ. All because your Savior lives. Therefore, hope for the grace of the risen Christ in glory. Well, because Jesus lives, you will be raised up in glory, and you will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. But that's not all. Because of Jesus, after that day of judgment, you shall be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And when Adam and Eve were created, they not only glorified God in their sinless state, but they enjoyed Him as well. They could walk with Him in the garden. They could speak with Him face to face. They could see the Lord and live. They could speak with Him. They could see Him. They could have communion with Him. And yet after the fall, man was cast out of the garden, away from the presence of the Lord. And fallen man has never since been able to see the Lord's face and live in His glorious splendor, the magnitude of His holiness. He's not been able to experience the fullness of the joy of God without the taint of sin. Now, we do get a small taste of His glory and a small taste of that communion with God, but it's an incomplete taste of that joy we will experience with the Lord. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. We do know now in part, but then we shall know just as we are known. We only see in part. And yet John tells us in chapter 3 of his first letter that we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will once again see the Lord face to face. We shall see the Lord and live. We will have what theologians call the beatific vision, the seeing of the very face of God and having communicated to us the radiance of His glory and the splendor of His love. And we will experience the presence of our great God and Savior without the taint of sin, without any guilt, without any shame. How blessed an estate that will be. And we will enjoy Him to the greatest possible amount, the greatest possible degree. David says in Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, we can't fathom the depths of joy we will experience in the Lord's presence, but the psalmist says fullness of joy. And what is the most joyful experience that you have had in this broken, fallen world? Just try to call that to mind for a moment. What is the most joyful experience you have had? What a gift of God that is to you in this fallen, broken, sin-tainted world. But friends, that's just a small taste, a little picture, maybe an appetizer, we could say, of what we will have in the presence of God. Such cannot compare to the joy with the Lord, for the joy we have in this life is always hindered by one thing or another. Our circumstances, our own weak and frail bodies, fractured relationships, the brokenness of this world, death, our own sin always saps away joy and delight, even from our most joyous moments. But not so with the Lord. Not so when He will set all things right. Not so when you are with the one for whom you were created to be. You shall have fullness of joy. For as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we shall be with the Lord always. Our great joy comes by being in the presence of and being united to and experiencing the infinite God. And that is our end. To be with the one who has created us and to be with Him forever, this infinite, glorious God. But consider the fact that you are just a creature. You are just a finite creature, which means that you cannot see or experience all there is to see and experience of God at one time. He is much greater than you are. The finite cannot take in all of the infinite. You can't wrap your whole mind around or your arms around all of who God is. You can't comprehend who this God is. You'll always be learning more and more and more about Him, which means that our all-satisfying experience of His glory can never be complete. It can never come to an end, but it must be increasing in intimacy and intensity forever and ever. There will always be more for you as a finite creature to know and enjoy of God. And your increasing pleasure in God will never come to an end, but will just get better and better and better for all eternity, all because of the grace of the risen Jesus Christ. All because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to live a perfect, righteous life for those who believe in Him, to die a wrath-satisfying sacrifice for the sins of those who trust in Him, and to be raised from the dead for the justification of those who rest in Him. All of your hope, both now and in the future, all of your hope for everything we heard this morning comes from the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you have been given great benefits by the Lord Jesus. You have so much now, but you have so much to look forward to. You have so much to hope for. Because Jesus Christ is risen, you too will be raised up in glory. You shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and be made perfectly blessed and the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And so, brothers and sisters, hope in the grace of the risen Christ in glory. All of it is yours because the risen Jesus gives it to you. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You have accomplished for us in the life, death, and in the resurrection of Jesus. We thank You so much that all that we've heard this morning is not empty. It is not in vain, because Jesus Christ indeed has risen from the dead. And Lord, we pray that You, by Your Spirit, would make that known to our hearts more and more profoundly today, that we would truly rest in our risen Savior and find great hope and comfort in all that You have given us in Him. Glorify Yourself in our lives and do good to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.